The Flying Pig Marathon is Sunday, and while some runners are here to try to qualify for the Boston Marathon, a delegation from Kharkiv is here to draw attention to the needs in Ukraine. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss their work and how the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership is offering support are Vadim Kovalenko, who's running in the Flying Pig, Maxim Bondarov, General Director of the Olympic Sports Center, Aquarena, Victoria Marinuk, a board member of the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership, and Bob Herring, President of that Sister City Partnership. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Glad to be here, Lucy.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Vadim, I understand this is your fourth trip to Cincinnati to run in the Flying Pig. Is that right?
Yeah.
What keeps you coming back?
The first, I'm incredibly grateful to the Kharkiv Cincinnati Sister City Partnership for the continued support of my city and its people. Cincinnati has become like a second home to me. And this, yes, you're right, my first Flying Pig Marathon. Running gives me a platform to raise awareness to just sort of sport, but for Ukraine, fight for freedom, independence, and its right to exist. Hmm.
Can you tell me more about what life is like in Kharkiv right now for you, just every day when you're not in Cincinnati and running marathons?
It's very hard. It's dangerous. Our children lives with sirens, shelters, and really dangerous life. Hmm.
And I know that you've been working with the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership to help wounded soldiers get the treatment that they need. How great is that need in Kharkiv? How many wounded soldiers are there?
The support has been amazing. Thanks to the Kharkiv Cincinnati Sister City Partnership, more than 150 wounded soldiers have received the treatment and rehabilitation they need. We are very grateful for this help, but their need is still very big because many more soldiers continue to need medical care and recovery.
I would imagine that it just keeps happening. You have more and more wounded soldiers all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Bob, local representatives of the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership have been working with the Kharkiv Red Cross since the war started in 2022. Has that work been targeted at helping those people wounded in the war?
Absolutely, Lucy. When the war started, the Russians crossed the border and headed toward Kharkiv. That meant that people living between Kharkiv and the border were displaced and fled into the city of Kharkiv. So the Red Cross put up temporary housing, providing food, shelter, clothing. They abandoned everything as the Russian forces advanced. So not only did they help the displaced people, but they set up aid stations performing triage for those who were wounded and referring them to hospitals. Kharkiv Red Cross has been engaged consistently in search and rescue in apartment buildings, homes damaged by the Russian attack. They're the boots on the ground, taking care of the people who are suffering significantly from the Russian attack.
And Maxim, I know you're the general director of the Olympic Sports Center in Kharkiv or near Kharkiv. How has the center been damaged during the war?
Hello, everybody. I would like to thank you for people of United States, for people Cincinnati, and for Chief all of Sister Partnership between Cincinnati and Kharkiv for your support, and for that we today are here, because your support is very important and very powerful for us. Yes, you know, the situation in Ukraine and especially in Kharkiv is very difficult now because our city is near to the front line. And now, unfortunately, almost every day and night we hear the missiles, we hear the fight, and war has become early to our city. You know, our sports center was partly destroyed on the beginning of the war in 2022, in March. But we decided in 2023-24 to repair it and to open it for citizens of Kharkiv and near region to use it for people to save their health, to improve their health, to save their psychological state, to help for children, for their parents to be a part of some community near sports and psychological help. And we provide it. Also, we have a humanitarian center on which based on our Sports Olympic Center, which provide support and help into many people which needs some goods, some products, some things for first needed. Mm-hmm. And we do it now. And, you know, we believe in Kharkiv and your support, the support of our partner sistership between Cincinnati and Kharkiv make our stronger and more more comfortable with this.
Yeah, it must have been very difficult to plan that restoration and to fix the center, the damage that had been done. And it seems almost like that in itself is an act of defiance. Like you know, the war did this damage, but you're going to fix it and bring it back for the people.
Yes, we fixed it and bring it back to the people. After that, we have two near missile damage, which partly destroyed windows or glasses in our center, but it still works. We will we repair it again a little, and we use it for people, for swimming, for football. We opened a kitchen garden in this Olympic Center, in which based in basement, because it's safety for our children. It is needed now in our region. And we hope that it will give to people in Kharkiv some opportunity to health, to support, to improve their sports.
Yeah. Why is that so important? What do you hear from the people who use the center about what it means to them?
You know, I think it's help to people forgot about war on this time when they do sports, do gym, do swimming. So it's like a fresh breeze in this situation, because, you know, it's very near the front line. It's very closer to this. So when we do sport, and I do it myself with my friends, with my colleagues in our sports center, I feel better, I feel good. Mm. I hope this is every people which which come to our center feel this.
Yeah. We're talking about the work with wounded soldiers and veterans in Kharkiv, Ukraine, and efforts to help children there. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Victoria, you left Kharkiv in 2022 when Russian forces invaded Ukraine. Was that a difficult decision to make?
Yes, it was a very difficult decision, but it was a necessity. Unfortunately, Kharkiv is very close to the front line. And when the war started, the first bombing was of Kharkiv, and one of cassette bombs exploded right in front of our building. And me and my daughter, just a split second before that, managed to rush inside the building. So we survived. But to me, it was a sign that we couldn't stay there longer. And yes, I had to make the decision. We had to leave.
How old was your daughter when that happened?
She was 12.
Oh, that had to be terrifying.
Yes, she was very traumatized, and it took her more than a year to recuperate. Yeah. Mm.
Do you still have family and friends in Kharkiv?
Not family, but my friends, my former co-workers, colleagues are still there. And it is wonderful to be able to stay connected, to keep in touch, to know about the situation in the city, to know how people live in the city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I stay connected.
Yeah. Is it hard to be here knowing that the war is continuing there? I mean, you know, with so many people still in Ukraine, still
yes.
in Kharkiv.
I agree with you. It is very hard. And I suffer that feeling of guilt because I'm here safe, having a normal life. And there people have to listen all the time to the sounds around, because if it's a drone, if it's a plane, they have to figure out where to run, how close the shelter is, where their children are, is everybody safe or not. And but my participation in the work of the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership helps. We plan and implement projects to help the people to contribute to the fight of the people in Kharkiv against the enemy, to contribute to their resilience. And so to me, this is very helpful.
Yeah. This is how you are helping and
yes, to be able to help, to be able to contribute, yes.
Mm-hmm. How's your daughter doing?
She is fine. She is a prospering 10th grader, enjoying her school, friendship.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. That has to make you feel good about your decision then.
Yes, that's right. Here we discovered this wonderful schools, great teachers, inspiring school projects, lots and lots of learning opportunities, lots of opportunities to be creative, like choir, drama club, piano lessons, you name it.
Yeah. Does she still keep in touch with friends in Kharkiv?
Yes. But again, most of her friends are scattered all around Europe and the world. Mm. But they manage to keep in touch.
Yeah. Teenagers can find a way, right?
Absolutely. No yes. matter how you try to control it.
That's yeah. right. That's one of the pluses and minuses, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Bob, I know you've been president of the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership since 2015. How dramatically has the partnership's work changed since the start of this war?
It's been significant. You know, the Sister City Partnership, Sister City concept was the idea of President Eisenhower, who believed deeply in the value of citizen diplomacy. If we could get the average, everyday, ordinary citizen in one city and one country connected to colleague in another city, another country, then that would be the pathway to achieve the world that we really want to have based on peace and mutual understanding. So in the beginning, our work was really focused on the arts, on education, on law, on medicine. What were areas where we could collaborate? We helped restore a synagogue in Kharkiv. We worked with women who served in the Soviet military, documenting their service to their contribution to the World War II. We also worked with the State Department, the Open World Program, bringing in delegations from Ukraine to study how American press covers election. What does the First Amendment mean? What are the limits of it? And also to explore energy efficiency, connecting them with Duke and the University of Cincinnati. Lots of programs based on mutual interest, mutual collaboration. But when the war started, really everything changed. And our focus became providing humanitarian aid. The Red Cross in Kharkiv became our boots on the ground, if you will. The board made the decision early that instead of collecting items here and then shipping them to Ukraine, it would be better to collect the money and transfer the money to the people in Kharkiv who had the boots on the ground, who knew what the needs were, and the needs could change and within a day. And so if we collected things and sent them, it might not be what they needed when the things arrived. So we set about contacting folks here in Cincinnati, spreading the word for the need for humanitarian aid for the folks in Kharkiv. And it's been really quite successful. We've provided medical equipment for clinics and hospitals, helped the Red Cross with the repair and replacement of their vehicles that they use on search and rescue missions, and helping people evacuate from different areas. We've been able to help underwrite the cost of training for school psychologists who help kids, to help kids deal with the trauma of war. And the returns on that are very positive. We've provided funding for generators and charging stations. So when the Russians hit the power grid and the energy is gone, the electricity is gone, there still is a source through the generators and the charging stations where people can charge their phones, they can get heat in their apartments, they can get light in the middle of the night. So the shift has been to providing resources for the folks that they need, medicine, clothing, generators, whatever it is. We're in touch. We have a monthly Zoom meeting with the Kharkiv Red Cross that they update us on conditions in Kharkiv and what the needs are. So a dramatic shift since the start of the war.
Vadim, I want to ask you, you know, Bob just mentioned generators, and there was a lot of talk in the U.S. about what a cold winter it was and how the war, Russia, you know, destroying the ability to generate electricity and power and heat. What did those generators mean in Kharkiv? What was the winter like for you there?
It was very difficult winter in this year because Russian Federation destroyed many electric station, heating power station. It was very, very cold, and we don't have light in the house, in a business. It was terrible, really. And Kharkiv really needs generation and light station and heating station. Yeah, it's a Kharkiv Cincinnati sister ship. It's very support our city and our people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you struggle with heating and electricity at the sports center, Maxim? I mean, how did you continue to operate through such a difficult winter?
Of course, we face it too, because often was that almost all city or biggest part of city was without electricity. In winter, some, especially when it was about 20 degrees above zero, mm-hmm. so it was very cold. But we have generator, yes, also, and we provide our products, our services for customer, for people in Kharkiv on okay level. And it was almost like a center of strongest in Kharkiv because everyone who come to us can charge phone. We have electricity, we have hot water. Swimming pool is working. Almost all our activities, sports activities, is working. So people can get some that they need in this very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Became a real community resource, it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, but we do it ourselves without help of city, of municipality, and we try to support it on okay level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we are going to continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. I want to give you a heads up about something we're working on for next week. Are you a small business owner planning to use the tariff refund portal? Tell us your experience. Call 513-419-7100 and leave your name and comment. We might use your message on the air. Now we return to our conversation with representatives from a delegation from Kharkiv, Ukraine, and the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership. My guests are Vadim Kovalenko, who's running in the Flying Pig Marathon this weekend, Maxim Bondarov, the General Director of the Olympic Sports Center, Aqua Reina, and Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership President Bob Herring and board member Victoria Miranuk. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Bob, before the break, we talked about how the Sister City Partnership's work changed from before the war to after the war started. You traveled to Ukraine in 2023 to meet with Kharkiv's mayor to renew the agreement that governs the Sister City Partnership. How had Kharkiv changed at that point since your last visit?
Well, Lucy, there are really two parts to a city. There's the physical infrastructure, the buildings, the parks, the roads, and there's the people. The buildings are different. They're damaged. The parks are different. They're damaged. The roads, in some cases, are undrivable because of the damage. But it's the people who are incredibly resilient. Mayor Terekhov has provided incredible leadership during this very challenging time. City services continue to function. Students go to school underground or online. They build an underground school. They're holding classes in the metro stations. All this while the city is really constantly under attack. So it's that spirit of determination, the spirit of perseverance that defines our sister city. And so that, in some respects, you could say hasn't changed, but only been strengthened and deepened during this incredibly challenging time. Physically, there's a lot of work to do to rebuild the city. And when that comes, when the war's over and it's time to rebuild, the Cincinnati Kharkiv Sister City Partnership will be there doing what we can to make the city whole again.
Yeah. Vadim, how do you feel about the people of Kharkiv? I mean, do you feel like that this war has changed the people in any way?
I say about my family. My daughter is 15 and her birthday is February 24.
Oh my goodness.
That's the day the first scare war began. It's incredibly to describe the fear and pain we feel that day. My son is now 8 and he barely remembers life before the war. That is one of the hardest realities for Ukrainian families. So many children are growing up knowing only sirens, shelters, and trauma. Now children no child should live like that. So thousands of children have been killed, injured, and deeply traumatized by this war. For us, this is not just number. They are our children, our families, and our future. Hmm.
Victoria, when you talk to friends who are in Kharkiv, in Ukraine, what do you hear from them? I mean, I hear people use the word resilient so much for the people of Ukraine because the war has just gone on and on and on. It also has to be exhausting. I mean, what do you hear from people who are there living through this every day?
It is exhausting, and people are resilient, and they're very stubborn at the same time. Because enemies bomb the city with their drones, they destroy buildings, and the people in Kharkiv rebuild them. They put back the glass windows and make those buildings usable again. The roads are destroyed, and people in Kharkiv fix and clean the roads. And they keep the city clean, really clean and looking nice, even with flower beds in central streets. And this is the sign that the city is not going to give away. And this is the attitude of the people. Resilient, stubborn, fighting, and respecting themselves and their city.
That's a real act of resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob, I understand the partnership has underwritten the cost of training school psychologists. You referenced this a little bit earlier, to help children deal with the trauma of war. Can you tell us more about that?
Oksana, a psychologist from Kharkiv, came to Cincinnati to meet with people to learn best practices on how to deal with the trauma of war, the death of a parent. So we connected her with agencies like Fernside Center for Grieving Children. She picked up a lot of good tips, and became familiar with a lot of the best practices to help kids deal with this. She went back and conducted training sessions for 12 school psychologists in Kharkiv. This is relatively new for the folks in Kharkiv and Ukraine, not having gone through this before. So she was able to provide sessions on storytelling and loss and how memory and all different aspects of how you deal with the trauma. And those 12 psychologists went into the schools and worked with the kids. We've gone through the first session, and the preliminary report is a very positive impact. The school psychologists are feeling like they've got some really good tools and some really good experience to help kids deal with this. It'll be ongoing, and it'll go for generations as these kids are impacted by this. But the fact that they've got some psychologists in place that have the training, have the experience, have the knowledge is going to go a long way to helping those kids recover.
Yeah. Maxim, Vadim talked about the impact of this on his children living through this war, what they're dealing with, how long they've been dealing with it. How do you see children dealing with this trauma? I mean, for a young child, like an 8-year-old or even a 5 or 6-year-old, the war has been happening for most of their lives?
You know, it's a very difficult question, that situation for children now in Kharkiv, in Ukraine also. Because the children which is in 5, 6, 7 years old, they don't understand, they don't feel it so terrible like all the children or people like in my age or some older, but they worry. Children worry about it. They afraid it, and always when it's shots or sirens works, of course they looking for the shelters and try to be saved in this situation. My daughter lives with me in Kharkiv. She is 16. Her birthday was in January, and she goes to underground school because from this period 4 years was opened a few underground school, metro school. But it's not enough space for all children in Kharkiv, and many children take the classes online. Some children goes offline, maybe like 3 times per week offline, and another 3 days per week online. This is education for children in school, in young school, in elementary school now. So it is a big impact for our children, and of course many parents decided to relocate their family, their children to more safety region in Ukraine or abroad. And it is also big problem which we will face in future because it's all our people in Ukraine, all our persons, getting smaller numbers, smaller.
Has your daughter ever said that she wanted to leave, or does she want to stay?
Yes, she wants to leave because it's not her choice to be here. It's our decision, me and my wife, to be in Kharkiv, because I'm in charge of 2 big organizations. I have a big number of staff, and I do what I do now to support our people, to improve some of our activities, because it helps to our city, to our people, to live now. But my daughter, she learns in other languages, and she wants now to leave. Maybe if war will end soon or sometimes, I hope that many people will come back to Ukraine and will provide their opportunities in Ukraine.
Bob, I know Albuquerque, New Mexico entered a sister city partnership with Kharkiv last year. Excuse me. And Cincinnati and Albuquerque have been working together on some initiatives, especially I want to talk to you about one related to computers. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. Many of the schools obviously were damaged by the Russian attack, and a lot of equipment was lost, from computers to books to classroom space. And so Albuquerque is a relatively new partner with Kharkiv, joined with us, and we joined with them to replace computers that were damaged in the Russian attack on schools. We've also worked with them to replace books, working with Scholastic Books to provide books for school libraries in Kharkiv. English language books, so the students, as they learn English, age-appropriate level, will have books to read to help them learn the English language.
Yeah.
So it's been a great partnership with Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. And Victoria, I understand you've been working on that book's part of the partnership also?
Yes. Now I work at the Cincinnati and Hamilton County Public Library, and every day I see those beautiful books, board books for children, bright, beautiful picture books for children. And I was thinking, how can we bring these books to the children in Kharkiv for them to be able to learn the language when studying in the underground schools? And together with the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership, we created the list of the books, purchased the books, and sent them to Kharkiv. And Albuquerque was very generous to pay for the shipment and for the books. And now we are waiting for the bright event when the books are delivered to the school. And so we will post on Facebook, on our page on Instagram about this event.
Yeah. Are the teachers in Kharkiv looking forward to getting those books?
Oh, yes. They're looking forward because they're graphic novels. Something is very different, new, and it is going to be very popular. The teachers developed already plans of lessons, how these books could be used during the teaching program, and plus to encourage children just to read books for fun.
Yeah. Children all over can be encouraged to read books for fun, right?
Yeah, but these books for Ukrainian children, they will be books in a foreign language. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they read books, but in a foreign language, read not like homework, but right. Just for fun.
Yes, yes. That's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Well, Bob, I know Cincinnati and Albuquerque also helped fund a documentary being produced by New Mexico Public Television. Tell us about that film.
It's a limited 6-part series on the critical role of arts and culture in Ukraine's resistance against the Russian invasion. Genevieve Traynor is traveling through Ukraine and meeting with the country's creative and cultural leaders about their insights on the importance of creativity in times of uncertainty, their personal lives, uncertainty in their personal lives, and as a nation to resist the Russian invasion. So one of the artists that she's contacted is in Kharkiv, and she goes to these buildings that have been hit by Russian missiles, shattering hundreds and hundreds of windows, collects the shards of glass, and creates mosaics out of them, and installs them in the place where the damage occurred. It's a way for the people to say, we're here, you know, and the arts help us, I believe, understand what's going on and provide us with an opportunity to communicate how we feel about what's going on, whether it's literature, plays, songs, music, whatever, or visual arts. So it's an exciting project to give a visual, if you will, to the resistance of the people of Ukraine to the Russian invasion.
Yeah. Victoria, what do you think about the role of arts and culture in Ukraine's resistance against Russia? I mean, you talked about the planting of the flowers and the cleaning of the streets and the pride that the people of Kharkiv take in the city and rebuilding and fixing. What role do you see arts and culture playing in that resistance?
I believe that role of art is very important because, first of all, art gives people an opportunity to express their feelings, their fear, pain, anger, and at the same time to talk about empathy, love, compassion, and hope. And we have the project between the children of Kharkiv and the art school 133 in Kharkiv, when children exchange artworks on certain topic, and this year it is nature and us. Children in Cincinnati and children in Kharkiv created their artworks on this topic. And in Kharkiv, this exhibition already opened in April in one of the libraries in the city. And in fall, this exhibition will be brought to Cincinnati and will be displayed here for the people and definitely children to be able to see the artworks.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we will be back to wrap up our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with representatives from a delegation from Kharkiv, Ukraine, and the Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership. My guests are Vadim Kovalenko, who's running in the Flying Pig, Maxim Bondarov, the general director of the Olympic Sports Center, Aquarena, and Cincinnati-Kharkiv Sister City Partnership President Bob Herring and board member Victoria Marinuk. Do you have questions or comments for them? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Vadim, we have talked about how you are going to be running in the Flying Pig this weekend, but there are other runners, too, who aren't on this radio panel discussion with us. Can you tell us about some of the other people who will be participating and what their interest is in the race?
In our group, active military, Taras, it's third meeting in Cincinnati, and two veterans. This is war, Ukraine and Russian war, and Olympic, Paralympic champion, Maxim Kripak. We have another distance of this marathon. Veterans and Maxim will run 5K, and I and Taras, we will run half marathon.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And the Paralympic champion, is that runner an amputee? Is he missing a limb?
No.
Okay.
Swimmer. He's a swimmer.
Okay.
Yeah, and he has 10 gold medals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's a legend.
Yeah.
Our country, yeah.
Yeah. So you're here with a superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And Bob, I know the partnership has an event at our building here in Evanston this evening, I believe. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's a meet and greet with members of the Ukrainian delegation. They have a documentary that they'll share about the impact of the war on Kharkiv and in Ukraine. And it's an opportunity to say to the people of Cincinnati, thanks. Thanks for your support. We know that you stand with us. There'll be an opportunity for questions after the documentary. And so we hope that folks come. It starts, the doors open at 7 o'clock this evening here at Cincinnati Public Radio. The program starts at 7:30. And we'd love to see you come out and meet these incredible men from Kharkiv, hear their story, and learn how you can support these people fighting for their freedom, fighting for their independence.
Okay. And that's tonight at our Cincinnati Public Radio building on Dana Avenue, and it's free and open to the public.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to talk more about life in Kharkiv. Maxim, you mentioned that your daughter attends an underground school. I was reading about Primary School 155, which I understand is Ukraine's first school built intentionally and entirely underground. Are you familiar with that, how that works? I don't know if you, that sounds like that might not be for the age group that your daughter is, but how difficult was it to build an underground school so that children could attend school together in a safe way?
Thank you, Lucy. I think it's school number 105.
Oh, 105, and okay.
Exactly at that school, my daughter is coming, is
oh,
going.
Okay.
Yes, it's nearby my house, and it was first school in Kharkiv, which was built underground. Now we have a few schools underground and a few metro schools in metro station. It's a new project. Completely underground. There are about 30 classes in every school, underground school like this. And some different schools of region, which is near this school, used the school for people from these schools. That's why, because my daughter have only 3 days offline education in school, because in other days children from other schools visited this school.
Mm-hmm.
This school's for all ages of children and young children, young pupil and middle level and high level. So it's now our real life unfortunately, but it's a way to make for children socialized sphere area and opportunities for them to be in contact with teenagers, with the age group children.
Sure, I imagine she wants to be with her classmates. She wants to be with them in person.
Of course, because, you know, before war was COVID, and it was closed, school and everything. So our children, it's children which many years without conversation, without contact, offline contact between their age colleagues.
Yeah. Vadim, what about your children? Do they go to school underground or at one of these metro stations some days?
My son study online school. Mm-hmm. And my daughter going to school, common school. Mm-hmm. But when students, they go to shelter. Mm. Yeah. The shelter near, stay near the school. It's 50-30 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they miss being with other children in school all the time?
Yeah.
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 It's got to be tough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, Bob, Victoria mentioned this earlier, but there is this partnership with students at a school in Kharkiv, students locally. How did that start, this kind of exchange between these schools?
The art exchange.
The art exchange, it, yes.
Involves students in the Mariupol City School District. And so Sergei, an art teacher from Kharkiv, came to Cincinnati and was looking to find partner schools that he could collaborate with. And the visual arts teachers at Mariupol Schools just stepped up and said, let's do this. Let's make this happen. So it really started about 5 years ago. When they started doing the art exchange. It's elementary school kids' art. There's a different theme each year. So the students in Mariupol create the art, as do the students in Kharkiv. Digital photos are taken. They're emailed to the respective schools, printed, and exhibited locally. And it's been an incredible experience. The Mariupol students had the opportunity to do a Zoom meeting with the Kharkiv students just a couple of weeks ago when the exhibit opened in Kharkiv. So what's important here is that the kids know that they're not forgotten. Life goes on, school takes place, art pictures are drawn, and they're connected with kids around the world. So in this incredibly challenging time, the support that Cincinnati kids can provide Kharkiv kids through the simple exchange of art means a lot. And it means a lot to the kids here in Cincinnati to know that kids around the world, kids in Kharkiv, are experiencing something they haven't experienced, but still have that creative spark, still willing to engage, still willing to share information and the art that they produce. The art exhibit here in Cincinnati will open September 26th, I believe, at the Barn in Mariupol. So I'd encourage you to come out and see some really incredible art from the Mariupol kids and from the Kharkiv kids.
Yeah. Victoria, when you talk to friends who are still in Kharkiv, is there ever a concern that they worry people will forget them or have forgotten them? There's so much happening in the world right now, so many conflicts and things that are taking people's attention. Do you hear any concerns from people about that?
Yes, this is very true. Ukraine is not in the news now, but the war continues, and the city is being attacked, and buildings are being ruined, and civilian people are killed, including children. And unfortunately, there is not enough information. And for people, it is important that we continue talking about that, about them, and we continue sending them some small tokens of our memory and to tell them that we are with you, we are supporting you. And it could be something very simple like a telephone call, it could be a book, it could be a video meeting like between the school students, something which is very easy and simple for us, but very important in Kharkiv, for people in Kharkiv.
Yeah. Bob, we started out talking about the Flying Pig Marathon, which is this weekend, but Before the pandemic and before the war, Cincinnati sent runners to take part in Kharkiv's marathon, right? Tell us about that history.
We did. Vadim came and ran in the Flying Pig and met some folks. And two women here in Cincinnati were really inspired by him coming to run in the Pig and decided, we're going to go to Kharkiv and run in the Kharkiv marathon. So they did. They went and successfully completed it. Then, unfortunately, the pandemic occurred, and then the war occurred. So our plan, our hope, our dream is that when the Kharkiv Marathon is back up and running, that we'll go to all the running clubs here in Cincinnati and say, if an international marathon is on your bucket list, this is the one. This is our sister city. So we'll go and we'll stay in hotels, we'll eat in restaurants, we'll put money into the local economy to help it rebuild, and we'll show the folks of Kharkiv that you have not been forgotten. Yeah. This is one way we can do it. So if you would do the 5K, the 10K, the half, the full, or you just want to go and stand on the cheering at the finish line and cheer your runner across, we'd like to have an incredible delegation back in Kharkiv when the marathon is up and running.
Yeah. Vadim, I see you kind of smiling as Bob talks about that. Is that something you're looking forward to, having the Kharkiv marathon operating again?
Yes. Yes. Before the war, Kharkiv has many times marathon in our city. It was beautiful time when people comes to our city from another countries, another cities. And I invite our friend from Cincinnati and Cincinnati people to Ukraine, to Kharkiv. When war over.
Yeah. And Maxime, I bet there are people who would love to be training in your sports center for a Kharkiv marathon.
I tell you that people in Kharkiv, you know, now in Kharkiv lives more than 1 million people. Even when Kharkiv is near to front line. Because of this, we try to make more opportunities, more sports activities for people in Kharkiv. We make a competition between children of different swimming pool in our Olympic Sports Center. We make competition between children soccer commands on our soccer football pitches. So we do through sport, through our atmosphere in our Olympic Sports Center, we do something that helps our people in Kharkiv now. Hmm.
Well, I have been talking with Vadim Kovalenko, Maxime Bondarov, and Cincinnati Kharkiv Sister City Partnership Board Member Victoria Maranuk and President Bob Herring. Thank you all so much for your time today. It was a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez-Cornu. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.